It is the worst planting season for farmers in 25 years because of our wet and cold weather.
The excessive rainfall we've been getting this spring.
Rainfall followed by cooler weather.
More rain, obviously, in April and May.
The storms we got and that cool weather hit at absolutely worst time that it could possibly hit.
Devastating.
One of the worst on record.
Not good news for some crop producers in our area.
Pretty cold weather.
The Ohio Farm Bureau says it's the worst planting season since it started tracking.
Crop is seeing its worst day.
So it's really been a challenge this year.
Farmers across the nation, from Texas, California, and across the Midwest, certainly, all echoing each other's words. This is the worst season on record. The conditions are colder and wetter than we can work with. I'm Christian. And this is the Ice Age Farmer Channel. When we look, folks, at the fields that lie fallow and still underwater in many cases across the United States, it's important to bear in mind that this is absolutely the biggest, most important story we can talk about here today. For Iranian warships or economic concerns or Brexit or Trump this and that, all of these can be waved away with the stroke of a pen and a new headline being printed. A trade deal or a peace treaty can resolve those conditions and send them down the memory hole. Whereas this cannot be rectified overnight. You cannot simply print more food and then instantly recover from the situation. So bear that in mind when we consider these other geopolitical things that are being discussed by the mainstream media. They are largely distractions compared to what's going on here. And what is going on here is now, I think safe to say, approaching a black swan event where there are massive effects. You know, corn has such a big effect on the U.S. economy that every one of us is going to feel this, and many of us didn't expect to, which qualifies as a black swan. So what are we talking about? Farmers are warning that the corn situation in particular is an absolute train wreck, that it's much worse than the USDA's revised estimates are indicating, that the damage is going to be a lasting one. It'll take a couple of years for farmers to recover if they survive the bankruptcy risk in between here and then. Quote, "The healthy corn is not going to be a part of the landscape here across the continental US this summer. Instead, that idyllic countryside will be replaced by barren fields and overgrown weeds." Yes, farmers are now turning to the Twitter hashtag NoPlant19 to talk about the situation. Actually, in fact, they've been talking about that since early April, and I have been covering that here on the Ice Age Farmer channel. How was it possible that we knew this was going to happen? Well, it's because, as NASA itself just conceded, we're now entering a grand solar minimum where the solar activity drops off precipitously and conditions on our planet change as a result, with very real effects to agriculture. NASA's new prediction for solar cycle 25, depicted here, is also low, like solar cycle 24, out of which we're just coming. And you can see these levels pretty much echo those we saw during the Dalton minimum, during which there were food shortages, food scarcity, millions of people dying across the world. Now, the situation is different these days. Obviously, we have global trade going on. Modern agriculture is much different. It's at scale, which might mean it's going to fail faster, but that we have, you know, big stockpiles to tap into. Certainly, conditions are different, and the situation will play out differently, but we at least can look to the natural cycles and the history of these previous cycles to understand what it is that we're facing. What are the risks that we're entering into? Here on wiki.iceagefarmer.com, I've compiled a series of lessons from the previous minimum, including the Dalton minimum. We can click here and see that was when the year without a summer happened following Mount Tambora's eruption, and also that records from, for example, Lewis and Clark detail conditions in the states being colder and wetter than modern times. Colder and wetter and difficulty growing crops is what we've seen during previous solar minima. This is directly from the journals of Lewis and Clark as they made their way across. So yes, this is something we've seen before, although in our lifetimes, yes, it is a disaster like nothing we've ever seen. This gentleman was mentioning that half of his cornfields are just lying empty this year. It's a tremendous blow to modern agriculture. Corn prices jumping up at the end of last week to a five-year high in the wake of the flooding. And I expect it's going to go even higher. I'm not just saying that. Quote, U.S. corn will be in short supply, but emotions, fears, and hoarding could push it to a shortage. Interesting, I think, to see the word hoarding. Why do I say it could go higher? It's because the USDA's new estimates are only a 1.4 billion bushel markdown, but by their own numbers, that should be a 3.4 billion bushel markdown. So they're holding back. Here's a quote. It just seems our whole planting seasons have been moved back a month. Yes, that's exactly what we've been describing with the shrinking on both sides of the growing season. We used to plant in April. Now we're lucky if it's mid-May. This is from the mouths of farmers who are experiencing what we've been talking about and anticipating here for some time now. Quote, farmers are the first responders of a climate event because we've got to protect our land. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's the farmers that are experiencing these things first. They are actively trying to switch to faster growing seeds. Like I've said, you can look for heirloom early varieties, which actually take less time to produce, meaning you have less of a window to worry about hailstorms or frost events to get your food. But yeah, farmers are switching out to faster growing seeds in light of the fact that they wholly appreciate that our growing season is shrinking. They're experiencing it. One other quote here, we're going to need price rationing on this corn to ration the demand. And if these sorts of things seem heavy-handed here in the States where the free market's supposed to operate, right? Well, don't be surprised. You know, we've already seen potatoes being given out at gunpoint in Egypt, and China now is already mentioning, yeah, don't worry, we've got plenty of food, and we might have to institute some price controls. So around the world, this is happening very quickly. It's a train wreck in slow motion, but also it's happening very quickly if you're trying to get ready for it. So it's a weird state to be in. Here's what that season's shrinking looks like. Corn way behind on emergence, the dotted line being the five-year average here. 2019, yes, very much an outlier as we enter the grand solar minimum. Soybeans also far behind, and it's still raining out there. So soybeans, to which some farmers were looking for relief, not going to fare that much better. Now, it's not just corn and soy. Out here in California, the late season rainfall and cold weather, and I've spoken about this a little bit before, has left rice farmers struggling. This was from the Oroville papers, so I actually went out and spoke to some of these guys. Record-breaking rain this past May has delayed rice farmers in Butte County, leaving them uncertain about the yield. Let me zoom in here. This year's rainfall were at breaking records all the way back to 1921. When I went out, this is some of those fields. That's not helpful. Facing south, and you can sort of see Sacramento down here on the horizon. But between here and there, it was just rice fields as far as the eye can see. And they are way behind where they're supposed to be right now. It's quite a sight to behold. It's not just the rice either. Farmers, pest control, and ag commissioners are reporting damage to crops. Check this out. Diseases are also at a worse level because of the cold, wet conditions. So it's not just that you can't get crops in the ground, it's that those you do grow are doing worse. Check it out. The level and progression of disease onset this year is at historic levels. Onions are being taken over by mildew. Tomatoes, 16,000 acres are being affected by disease. 80,000 acres of cotton, about 30% lost due to disease. And it was already off to a slow start. Why? Because of the cold spring. I want you to witness that the language, these are different farmers in different parts of the country growing different crops, but the language is the same. It's cold and wet, and I can't grow my food. Here in San Joaquin County, the cherry crop was labeled a complete disaster.
This year's San Joaquin County cherry crop will become one of the worst on record.
The San Joaquin County Ag Commissioner estimates at least half of the fruit is a complete loss. Monetary loss is placed at roughly $90 million, but that price tag could rise. Late season rains got into the thin skins of the fruit, destroying their marketability.
The storms we got and that cool weather hit at absolutely worst time that it could possibly hit.
Similar story out of Texas, totally different part of the country. But same story. The condition of the cotton crop in the panhandle has been devastating due to rainfall followed by cooler weather. In their own words,
the condition of the cotton crop here in the Panhandle is devastating, according to farmers across the region. Rainfall followed by cooler weather in the month of May caused damage to many cotton plants in their earliest stage. The devastation of the crop is also expected to have a negative impact on employees in the industry.
And it's too late to replant. The window for replanting has passed. So, cotton farmers in the Panhandle being affected by the cold, wet weather in Michigan, their peach harvest was nearly wiped out, as well actually as apricots, plums, and apples. Why? Because of the polar vortex that sank temperatures down to minus 20 degrees in late January. It did massive damage to some of those trees so that they're not even producing now. And that's what happens when growing zones are shifting south as the cold temperatures are reaching further south. A similar story out of Poland. I want to switch to Europe for a bit here, where the frosts that fell twice in the spring here has reduced the apple harvest by 85%. Two periods of heavy frost followed by heavy rain. It's cold and wet. France also, you may have seen, was just nailed by a massive hailstorm, so much so that they have declared a natural disaster after the hailstorms there. Quote, pretty much my entire harvest is ruined. My apricots, peaches, and cherries were all trashed by the hail, and this is not because he didn't protect it. Check it out. To those of you who have greenhouses, even the netting that we'd strung over the fields to protect from hail was no match for the tempest, which suddenly struck on Saturday afternoon, damaging fruit and trees alike. That was a very violent hailstorm, and the damage reports from agriculture are still rolling in, but yes, it's being called, quote, catastrophic. I've rarely seen scenes like this. It's unprecedented. I've never seen anything like this before. Let's keep going. In Belgium, similar story, hailstorms damaging fruit production. The thunderstorm accompanied with hail was damaging apples there. In Italy, they're dealing with the worst locust invasion in 60 years, eating through thousands of acres of land. People are, quote, walking on carpets of locusts, kind of like Indiana Jones. And this is because of the droughts in 2017 and then suddenly lots of rain in 2018. So that's what produced this massive plague of locusts over there. In India, another staggering loss, 70% loss to their mango production. Why is that? Because of adverse weather conditions, including hailstorms. And that meant that we weren't able to start harvesting. It was a late season due to the poor crop. How late was it? It's about 20 days late. All of this going on, and meanwhile, President Trump signs an executive order to fast-track GMOs through. Now, I've heard from fanboys who I think genuinely believe that Trump is doing this to save the world. We need these new special Trump GMO crops in light of the fact that food production is failing. I just don't buy it. I do not believe that there is a large state working on our behalf. I think you are ill-advised to wait for a savior and would be better served by starting to grow your own food today. I just don't think President Trump is going to save the world for you, or anybody for that matter. Be the change you need to see, and that means right now you should be taking steps every day to grow your own food, to build a community around you of safe and secure people who are interested in eating even as modern agriculture fails. And I hope you're doing that. Let me know how it's going for you. Send me a note, christian@iceagefarmer.com. I'd love to hear from you. And folks, here's a couple quick links I wanted to share with you today to bloggers that have been starting up their own sites. First, survivingthesupergrandsolarminimum.blogspot.com. Kind of a big mouthful there. He's a new blog. He's doing a great job to share the science and some of the ideas behind what's going on in a nice written format with graphics. So to those of you who have friends or family that don't watch YouTube videos, you can send them links to some of these nice articles here, and I wanted to give that out and encourage him to keep blogging. Similarly, for more on the prep side, grandsolarminimumhomestead.com is a new blog. I hope he or she is all right with me already putting out the word, but I wanted to appreciate what they've been doing and make sure that they keep it up. So to both of these new bloggers, thanks for your work, and definitely keep it up. You'll get some eyes now as a result of this. And then I wanted to give a link to supergsminfo.com, where Scott Chapman has put up these slides once again for free that you can download. It's a PDF with lots of history and data and science about what's going on. You can share this with people, again, that don't watch YouTube videos, or just use to guide your own conversations where you try and let people know what's going on right now. Break them out of the CO2 trance. Focus them on what's actually going on, and maybe you'll get some extra hands in your garden. Or maybe not. Just plant those seeds, and when they're ready to have that conversation, they can come back to you. Folks, I hope you're taking steps to spread the word and to grow your own food every day. You can find my work on iceagefarmer.com, where I need now to go post the video I just created about growing stuff in your greenhouse, aquaponics, and the potato towers. So if you're hoping that you'll get notifications from YouTube, I would discourage you from depending on that. Go ahead and check out iceagefarmer.com directly, where you can get this information. And be sure also to sign up for the Ice Age Farmer mailing list there. I value our ability to communicate, and I don't trust Google with that ability. So join the mailing list, and we'll be able to continue this conversation going forward. Thanks for watching. Thanks for spreading the word. Let's go build a great future.